Well, good. Good morning, church. I'm happy to be here. Bless the church today. Bless the leadership here and everything that Lift is about. We just bless you from the throne of grace today. And so here we are today, and I'd like to give an overview, if I could, just starting in the old covenant and going into the new. And I've termed what I'm going to say today, how to live supernaturally. And, you know, how do we do that? And the Lord helping me this morning, I want to bring out two things here today and just see how the Lord lifts it in our presence. As we go back into the old covenant, in the book of Genesis, we find Abraham. He was God's man. He was the first man to be justified by faith. God called him out of Ur of the Chaldees and brought him into the land of Canaan. And he took his family, and his nephew Lot went with him. So a whole group of people came out of the Ur of Chaldees, and they came into Canaan land. And so there he was with his entire family. And it says that the Lord had given him great blessings. And but there came a time where four kings came out against them. And it says that the kings came to Sodom and Gomorrah and literally ransacked the place and went off with all the goods. And the kings took Lot with them, Abraham's nephew. And Abraham went after them. He got his army together, and he chased them, overwhelmed them, took all the goods back, and brought it all back to where they lived. And it was a tremendous saga. The kings were there. And then we come to our scripture here this morning, where Abraham is now back. All of the plunder is there. And they're standing there. And it says, then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed Abraham, saying, blessed be Abraham by God Most High, creator of the heaven and the earth. And blessed be God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hand. And so this tremendous saga is there. All the plunder is now brought back. Abraham is standing there. Melchizedek comes out to him. And in front of all the people, as the king of Salem, Melchizedek comes, Abraham then says, then Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. Right here, we are dealing with the power of first mention, that the man of God, when God called Abraham, received all the goods back, and right here, he gave back a tenth to God. And so this was established right there. God established, I believe, one of his great ordinances for the church, a great ordinance for Israel, a great ordinance for us here today. When Abraham handed back a tenth, God gave him 100%, he gave 10% back, one-tenth. So God established that ordinance there, right there in front of Melchizedek and all the people. And it says that God appeared to Abraham right after that in a vision. And so Abraham had given him a tenth. God now appears to Abraham, and Abraham is there. And in this vision, the Lord promises him the land. I mean, you think about that. He gave a tenth. The Lord said, thank you very much. The ordinance is established. The tithe is established. And then the Lord comes to Abraham and he gives him the land. One of the first promises in the scripture is land. Basically, Abraham gives 10%. God gives him the entire farm. I just want to say that's God's way with us. The message that I'm bringing here today, God helping me, will establish you in a different zone. As we bring forth this particular ordinance of God. So Abraham was blessed. It says that he had so much land and so many animals. He was in trouble with his neighbors and so on. Abraham became very rich. Then his son came along. It says Isaac, who was born by the power of the Holy Spirit. And it says that Isaac planted crops in famine. And that same year, he received a hundredfold return. It says the Lord blessed him. And Isaac became rich. And his wealth continued to grow until he became very wealthy, that he was envied by the Philistines. And they asked him to move along. These hundreds and thousands of animals were eating up the land. They said, move on, please. Abraham became very rich. He's probably the richest man in the world. Isaac came along and he was probably one of the richest men in the world. And then comes along Abraham's grandson, Jacob. And it says that he was a fugitive at this particular time. You remember he had stolen his brother's birthright. He ran away. And on the way, running away to his family, trying to get away from his brother that said he wanted to kill him, it says he got tired, he lay down, and he had a dream. I can just see him there. You can see him. You've probably seen the pictures of him on this stone, of his head on the stone. And suddenly, the stairway to heaven opened up. I've seen that stairway. It goes like, it sits on the ground, and then it goes in a massive swath full of angels all the way to heaven. Well, Jacob had this dream. It was powerful. All the angels were ascending and descending on the stairway from heaven. And it says above there stood the Lord. And the Lord spoke to Jacob. And he said to him, I'm going to give you the covenant that I gave to your forefather. I'm going to give you the covenant that I gave him by vision and in dreams. I gave him the land. And he said, Jacob, you're going to receive all the land that you are lying on today. Jacob woke up like that and he said, Lord, this is awesome. He said, God was in this place and I didn't realize it. Awesome. And then Jacob turned to the Lord and he said, Lord, if you will help me, you've just promised me the land as you promised my fathers. And so on, if you will help me, you look after me and provide for me where I'm going. He said, I will give you a tenth of everything that I have. The establishing of the tithe, the ordinance of God, I just believe is most powerful today. Hallelujah. Abram, Isaac, and Jacob. And so they understood this ordinance of everything that they received came from God. Everything that you receive comes from God. And way back there, the beginning, God puts this ordinance into place. And he says, there's the tenth of that belongs to me. 100%, give God his tenth. Powerful. They did it. They were the richest people on earth. God blessed them over and over and over again. And I believe that all the way through the old covenant, they practiced this ordinance of the tithe and offering. And it went on and on and on. And God blessed them. The King David was an extravagant giver. He understood this principle. He gave a whole lot more than the tithe. Million times more than the tithe and offerings. He understood this principle. But as you come through the Old Testament and you come down to the book of Malachi, I would just encourage every one of you this afternoon, maybe tonight or tomorrow, open up your Bible and read the entire chapter of Malachi. By the time you come to Malachi, you've got a people, Israel, that have degenerated to the place where God was angry with them. I mean, God just laid it out before them. He said they'd broken all the ordinances, all of God's ways and his laws. They'd lost the fear of the Lord. And so on. And the tithe went by the wayside. And so the Lord lays this on them in the book of Malachi. So Israel was at a very low point. Israel was right in the midst of famine. There was no rain. And God comes and he raises up his prophet Malachi and he proclaims to Israel their sin for breaking the covenant. They broke the covenant of Levi. And that covenant of Levi is massive. Has to do with marriage, has to do with the poor, has to do with the orphans, with the widows, and the neglect that Israel had taken at this particular time. And so the prophet Malachi prophesies against them, but then he also gives them hope. So Malachi proclaims to Israel their sin, and he says their precepts, the statutes, the commands, and the ordinances of God have been neglected. And so Israel's at a very low point in their lives right here. So God's commands and the fear of the Lord was gone. This is what Malachi prophesied over the land. I would think about this. It's like a prophet prophesying over America. The whole land is under a curse. He said the whole land of Israel is under a curse. And so the people said, well, how can this be? Why? Why is there a curse? This is what Malachi said. Will a man rob God? People said, how can we rob God? We're talking about the creator of the heaven and the earth. And Malachi said, the Lord said this, you have robbed me in tithes and offerings. I mean, that's fascinating when you think about it. I would have thought that, you know, the prophet would have said, you need to humble yourself, you need to repent, you need to do this, you need to do that, as some of the other prophets have said. But right here in Malachi, he lays the blame right at the door of tithes and offerings. This is what he said. He said, the Lord says he wants you, the entire nation, to return to him. Return to me. How do we return? The prophet said, you return to him by picking up the ordinance of tithes and offerings. Bring the whole tithe, he said, into the storehouse, that the house would be full. Amen? Amen, Pastor Randy, this whole church. Think about it. If everybody had to bring the whole tithe into the storehouse and offerings, there wouldn't be room enough for it. You'll see, I know, I've pastored 5 churches here in the city and preached a long way. I can understand where things are. You want to see a church blessed? You want to see a body of believers suddenly flourishing? They'll pick up this ordinance here from the book of Malachi. The Lord said, test me now. This is the only place in the entire scripture where God gives people like us the right to test him. He said, test me now in this. Think about it. He should have said, you guys need to repent. You need to do this and do that. He said, no, you want to return to God. You return to him with tithes and offerings. And the Lord said, test me, prove me now. If I will not open up the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing until there's not room enough to receive. That can happen right here, right in this house. Hallelujah. It's a specific ordinance from God. 10% is the offering. And he said, the whole thing will turn around. Hallelujah. Tithes and offerings. God has given it as one of his major ordinances for a body and for people to prosper. I remember Derek Prince, when he came to this particular city some years ago, he said, you want to find out how God treats his people, how God deals with people? Look at the lives of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and you'll find out how God deals with his people. They were healthy, they were wealthy, and they were wise. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Talking about tithes and offerings. So the Lord said, bring the entire tithe into the storehouse, 10%, bring it in, be full. I'll open up the windows of heaven over you. I'm going to give you an illustration of a young pastor. His name was John Avanzini. He did his training, and then God gave him a charge, a church to keep. And so he entered the church and so on, began to preach, and God blessed the church, and it grew and so on. And he started preaching a message of prosperity concerning tithes and offerings. And he preached it. And he preached it faithfully. And the Lord blessed the church and so on. But after about 2 years, he said, one of his leading members came to him and they said, Pastor, we've heard about and we've listened and it's been anointed. Thank you for the way that you've been preaching and so on. But he said, the only problem is we've been doing that. We've been paying our tithe, but we haven't been prospering. And John said, boy, that really troubled him. Just a young pastor. And so he went on a few weeks later, continued to preach tithes and offerings and so on. And he said, another leading member came to him and said the same thing. Pastor, We've been listening to you. Thank you for the message. It's anointed and so on. And we believe that. We've been paying that faithfully. We've been bringing the whole tithe into the storehouse and so on. But we're not prospering. A young pastor said he had to go to the Lord. And he said he got a hold of the Lord. He said, I waited. He said, my leading members are bringing a charge kind of against me. My preaching is not prospering them. And so he said, he went to the Lord and he said, earnestly, he sought the Lord. And he said, the Lord came to him and he said, John, he said, I want to make a distinction between tithes and offering. He said, when you bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, the curse is taken off of you. This is where it says in Malachi, the whole land is under a curse because of tithes and offerings. He said, when you pay your tithe, it keeps the curse off of you. And he said, but there's a distinction between tithes and offering. He said, when you bring your offerings, you are giving your seed to God. If you want a harvest, you bring your seed. He said, the tithe is not the seed. You've got to pay your tithe, keep the curse off of you. And so, and that's great, but your offerings are seed. I tell you what, when I heard that, I understood tithes and offerings and so on. But when I heard that, I said, I'm in. He said he started preaching that. He said within 2 years, the church was like a house that was so full of offerings and tithe. There was just blessing and prosperity everywhere after 2 years. You know the reason why? People were bringing their offerings in because the offerings are seed and they were getting their harvest from that. And the whole church was, I tell you what, elated from that. It was powerful. I heard the interview with John Avanzini. And the man that was interviewing is running, you know, ran a large Christian TV station. And he said this, when I heard that way back in the 70s, he said, I'm in. And he said, we built our TV station on this ordinance of tithes and offerings. And it's the largest TV station in the world today on this particular thing here. You know, I preached a message here some time ago. God has got the absolute best for you. God has got the best for you. There's something powerful about offerings being your seed. I tell you what, I can honestly say I have prospered in a way that would astound some. It's been wonderful. 12 years ago, four of us began praying in the city. House of prayer was going, but on a Sunday night, four of us got together and we began to seek God. And we began to seek him over this particular principle here. And it was right in the midst of the downturn of America. The construction companies had just gone away. Construction was dead across the nation and so on. Thousands were out of work at the downturn. But right in the midst of that and right in the midst of our prayer, one of the people started a construction company right in the midst of the downturn. That's not a good time to start a company. But we were praying and we were seeking God. I remember the two of them came 80 miles on a Sunday night, and there we got together and we prayed earnestly to God and we prayed over this particular principle here. In the midst of that, the company was launched. Right in the midst of it, it was kind of like Isaac, as I said. Isaac planted crops in famine, and that same year he received 100-fold. We founded our prayer and our understanding of business right on this particular principle. What they began to do was this. They tithed themselves, started the business, the owners tithed themselves personally. Then they allowed the business to tithe. And then thirdly, they planted their seed. They began to give big offerings. It worked. I just want to say this just on the heels of that. After we had prayed and God had begun to bless. So that was like 2009. I want to just say here today, here we are X amount of years later, maybe 10 years later and $100 million later. God is out to bless you. He's out to bless this house in a powerful way. And I want to say it today, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. This is a storehouse. You can say, God, thank you for putting me in a storehouse, a place where I can bring the entire tithe. And then with this understanding, I'm going to be a farmer. I'm going to bring my seed. I'm going to start the whole tithe for sure, but I'm beginning to increase the offering. I'm going to begin increasing my seed and so on. Wonderful. I remember I preached this particular message way back there when I said, I'm in. Preached it on a Sunday morning. And I told them about tithes. Keeps the curse off of you. Told them about offerings being your seed. If you want a big harvest, if you want to be blessed financially by God, understand the offerings that God requires and brings your seed in. And it was anointed that particular morning. And I remember this. At the end of the message, a woman right here on the front row stood up and she said, Pastor, said, this past week, I received a significant financial blessing from somebody. How much of that should I give? And I kind of thought about it. And then I answered with a question. I said, how big do you want your increase to be? How big do you want your harvest to be? It's all got to do with how much you plant. We have a great time in Kenya seeing them planting. I see them, you know, they get into 100 people in a row with seeds. They begin to plant. And they walk down the rows and they begin to plant. When I see them doing that, you know, planting 20 acres, I thought of this year. I tell you what, how big do you want your harvest to be? Praise the Lord. 3 years ago, I'm going to give you another illustration here. 3 years ago, one of the owners of the company came to me and they said, there's going to be a new startup. I want to start a new company. I looked at her and I said, right away, the spirit of prophecy was on me. And I said, you are going to be successful. Right there, that was 3 years ago. But this is what she said to me. She said, I want to take this particular message of tithes and offerings and so on, and I want to do it right up front. And so this is what she said. I'm going to start this business. She said, number one, I want to sow an offering right up front. Before the business even started, I want to sow an offering. She gave me a significant amount of money. I took it and I sent it to Kenya and I built a house for widows and orphans. Beautiful house. 1 month later, they sent me a picture with the name of the company on the top of the house. And it said, this is that company's house. Sent me a picture and I gave it to her and she said, there we go. She launched out. I want to just say this. This was 3 years ago. They've tithed personally. They've allowed the business to tithe and they've given big offerings. 3 years later, I want to just say this. Tens of millions of dollars later on this ordinance, on this principle. Somebody is going to hear this today and say, God, I've been struggling, finances. Where I've been, there have been so many people that struggle with finances. The Lord has given us a way to be blessed. He said, test me, prove me now. You tithe personally. Let your business tithe. Give offerings that is your seed and find out what God will do. We're talking about the creator of the universe. We're talking about the one that instituted agriculture across the earth. He said, test me, prove me now. If I'll not open up the windows of heaven, the floodgates of heaven, and pour you out a blessing until there's not room enough to receive. I want to say I'm living right in the midst of that. You break chains by doing that. You break the curse, clothing, housing, and feeding people. Test me in this, the Lord says. I want to just say this organization called Love Mercy has had the great privilege of giving away multiplied millions of dollars on this particular principle. People that have prospered in a way that is just beyond what you can ask or even imagine. And for those companies, I'm just saying today, as great as they are and so on, they haven't seen anything yet. Yeah. Things are proliferating in the spirit right now. Dealing with the Abrahamic principle. He tithed and God turned right around, gave him the whole land. There's a whole land out there before you. And I'm telling you what, we're dealing with a God here that is awesome. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah, the tithe. And that's the first T that I want to speak about today. God will bless you with that T, tithe, and offering as your seed. And I've termed this morning on how to live supernaturally. In the tithe and offering, I can honestly say we're riding the heights and feasting on the wealth of our father Jacob. Lord has blessed in a profound way. And that's the first T, tithes and offerings. And I've said how to live supernaturally. I want to speak about the second T today. The second T is found in the book of Acts. The book says that after Jesus was raised from the dead, he was eating with his disciples, and he said to them, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of my Father that has been promised. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Hallelujah. Acts chapter 2, it says 110 of them, or 120 of them, went into the upper room and they began to pray. They heard what Jesus said. They went to the upper room and they waited for 10 days. It says on the 10th day of Shavuot, it says there was a sound of a mighty rushing wind. And it filled the house where they were sitting, and everybody in that room was filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And it says that they began to speak in tongues as the evidence of that. That was Acts chapter 2. 120 filled with the Spirit and began to supernaturally speak in tongues. I want to just say today, tongues is powerful. And I've said how to live supernaturally, tithe and offering for sure. You want to, and that's where we live every day. But when you come to the things of the Spirit, here it is right here. The baptism with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. That was Acts chapter 2. You get to Acts chapter 10. The disciple Peter went down there to Caesarea and he began to preach to the Gentiles while he was preaching the gospel and telling them what happened in Acts chapter 2. It says, suddenly the power of the Holy Spirit fell upon the Gentiles that he was preaching to. And it says that they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they all began to speak in tongues. The baptism with the Holy Spirit and fire were the evidence of speaking in tongues. You come to Acts chapter 19. The apostle Paul goes to Ephesus. He found 12 men there and he began to preach to them. And he asked them, "What baptism are you in touch with?" They said, "John's baptism." Paul said to them, "John's baptism was a baptism in water." He says that there's another baptism. It's the baptism of Jesus Christ. Jesus said he'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And it says that those 12 men said, "We want it." It says Paul laid his hands upon them. And while he was laying his hands upon them, the power of the Spirit came and they all spoke in tongues. Powerful. The baptism with the Holy Spirit and fire were the evidence of speaking in tongues. I want to just say this, on this particular issue here concerning tongues, well, everybody believes in the baptism with the Holy Spirit. It's right there. When you come to tongues, it's the controversial one. I have found that out recently. I mean, people that used to speak in tongues don't speak in tongues anymore. I was amazed. I went to one of the largest churches in Kansas City, and I spoke to the pastor about it, and he said, "Oh, you've got to be careful." He said, "We have a lot of denominations that are represented here, and we don't want to offend anybody." Really? With something so powerful as the Holy Spirit giving us utterance, having a supernatural language, and you don't want to offend people, you're offending them by not preaching it. You're withholding it from them. Baptism with the Holy Spirit and fire. I want to just say this. Give honor where honor is due to the Assemblies of God Church out of Springfield. I'm in Kenya. Everywhere in Kenya. KAG. KAG. Kenya Assembly of God. Kenya Assembly of God. Other places in Africa. They're everywhere. Right out of Springfield. They've taken this message and taken it to the ends of the earth. God has blessed that church, that denomination, on this one issue. Of preaching the baptism with the Holy Spirit and fire, allowing people to receive it, and with the evidence of speaking in tongues. They've taken it worldwide. God bless them. In 1984, right here in Kansas City, we launched the prayer movement. And Mike and I and a number of others, we started praying three times a day. 1984, November of 1984, we launched the prayer movement. Began to pray three times a day. We did that for 17 years, night and day, morning, noon, and night. Morning, noon, and night. We prayed prayers from the Bible. The prayers, the apostolic prayers. We taught people how to pray them. Come up to the mic, pray them. And then sing your prayer. And then pray in tongues. And then rejoice in tongues. And pray in the Spirit. We launched it with that. And hundreds of people and thousands of people have gone through that. As we launched that, the prophetic movement just exploded around us. Yeah, we were just praying and the prophets came and they began to prophesy. They said, what's happening? Way back there, Bob Jones said this. He said, what's happening here right now? Just the three times a day. He said, is going to be a 24-hour house of prayer. It's going to be established just as David raised up his tent, the tabernacle of David. It will be in that design. And this is what he said. He said, what you're doing here in Kansas City, singing, praying in tongues, praying in the Spirit, baptism with the Holy Spirit and fire, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, things became supernatural. I mean, they called our names. They gave dates and things. I mean, you talk about a spiritual odyssey that we went through in 1984, 85, 86, 87, 88. It was totally supernatural. Hallelujah. Launched that prayer movement, prayed prayers of the Bible, sang our prayers, tongues, sang in tongues, prayed in tongues. In 1999, we launched the International House of Prayer. It came with a prophetic word. We were all involved with it. And pray in tongues, singing in tongues, singing in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit. T, tongues, the power of it. There's power in that. I trust you saying that. Thank you. I trust you saying in your spirit, there's power in that. It's not just something. It says, as the Spirit gave them utterance. It is a gift of the Spirit. I remember in the early days, there are people that said, you must remember this. When you take the nine gifts of the Spirit like that, their tongues is right here at the bottom. I was preaching in Kenya recently on this year, and it was just an anointed time. Right before me, I saw as I was preaching this and pushing it, the baptism with the Holy Spirit and fire with the evidence of speaking in tongues, I saw hands do this to those nine gifts, and it took lit and it switched it right there in front of me. Suddenly, this least one, which was, you know, kind of that people said it's just the least of the gifts, suddenly became number one. Well, the Lord says, I'll make the last first and the first last. I can do anything that I want. And when that happened right in front of me, I said, God, this is powerful. I'm in. I tell you, over the last 2 years, I've spoken more in tongues than my entire life. And we did it 24 hours a day and so on. But when I got it, you know, Bob Sorge was here the other day and he talked about the Logos and he talked about the Rhema. I did Logos for years on this thing that I'm talking about. Suddenly, about 2 years ago, I tell you what, that was given to me like that. It came as a Rhema word to me. And suddenly this gift of the Spirit became number one. And I mean, just out of me by the power of the Spirit. The baptism with the Holy Spirit and fire with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Wonderful. I just say praise God for it today. You know what has happened with a house of prayer? Dealing with this, praying from the Bible, singing the prayers, singing in tongues, praying in tongues, praying in the Spirit. I mean, day after day, day after day. Tabernacle of David, worship and intercession, harp and the bowl going. The prophecy became true. Way back there in 1984, Bob Jones said this. He was a prophet here from Independence. He told us, told Mike and I right there. He said, the Lord showed me. He said, the day is coming when Chinese will have a little thing in their hand, like a little, he wasn't a cell phone. He didn't know what it was. He said a device was in their hand and they were watching in the rice paddies on the other side of the world what is happening right here in Kansas City. Now that's supernatural. That has happened. Last year, 1,000 Chinese came from China and they brought that report right here into Kansas City in the rice paddies of China. We have a little device in our hand watching what you guys are doing here in Kansas City. Now, that's supernatural. How to live supernaturally? Tithes and offerings. Offerings for sure. Tithe, you want to keep the curse off of you. Pay your tithe. Pay 10%. Remember what your father Abraham did. He kept that ordinance and they did over and over again. And they broke it and the curse came on them. Pay your tithe and then give big offerings. Amen? How big do you want your harvest to be? I mean, somebody may say today, say, okay, so 10%. So how much should the offering be? I don't know. Paul said, you find out what's in your heart because it's a free will offering. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to give offerings. He says, but if you do, you will be happy. How big do you want your harvest to be? And I want to just say, you know, that the just to the glory of God, the millions of dollars that we have dealt with, the millions of dollars that have filtered through the organization of Love Mercy to drill wells, build houses, clothe, house, feed, educate, evangelize the poor in another nation have come through this year. How to live supernaturally. The other day, one of the people that was running one of these businesses came up to me and said, this is supernatural. We're just not that good. I said, you know then. And I said, you understand why this happened. You understand why you are dealing with a success story that is incredible. It's just on this, yeah, on a Sunday morning. I'm just giving you a couple of details. I think there are many people right in this building that I'd love to prosper. Amen. Boy, a lot of people have financial problems. I mean, let's just face it, Pastor Andy. One of the biggest problems in America, I mean, with all of America's got, struggle financially. The Lord has given you the holy formula. He's instituted an ordinance for you, statute and an ordinance that he has given here. You keep it and you'll find out what it is to live supernaturally, spiritually and financially. Praise the Lord. Singing in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit. It happened here. X amount of years later, the ends of the earth are responding. Psalm 19 says this, their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. It's happening right here now, but it has come through what I'm talking about this morning. It wasn't just a group of people getting together. Oh, God, help us save the world. We did that. There's no question about it. Save the people, spare the people. We've done all of that. Ah, the Lord says, you need to add the supernatural dimension to it. You need to add the Spirit in power, and that power that I'm talking about is this gift of the Spirit called speaking and praying in tongues, praying in the Spirit. David said, I love your precepts. I love your ordinances. And this is what he says. If you keep them, he says, there is great reward. Amen. For those who hear what the Spirit is saying to you this morning, there's great reward. But it has to do with the ordinances. Oh, God, bless me. He said, I've given you a way to be blessed. You wanna keep the curse off of you? You know, and worrying about this and that, you know, over you and so on. Life is tough and so on. Get that off of you. He said, pay your tithe. And he said, then become a farmer. Amen. Become a good farmer. Right back there, they were in drought. The Lord says, you begin to do this. You return to me with tithes and offerings and see if I'll not open up the windows of heaven. Send you rain again. Agriculture will just be everywhere. He says your valleys and your mountains will be mantled with grain. That's God's way. It's God's way for all of us, not just the leader, not just me, not just the leadership of this church and some of the guys that look like they're doing. This is one for everybody. I'm giving you two things here, how to live supernaturally. Number one, tithes, T. Number two, tongues. Well, I'm going to end with this. There's a man by the name of Kevin Zadai. He's preaching all over the world right now. God is using him tremendously. The reason why God is using him tremendously is he had a heaven's experience. He met Jesus face to face. Kevin Zadai goes to the dentist and he's having his wisdom teeth operated on. The anesthetist comes in and he's under the anesthetic now. And as soon as he went out on the chair, the dentist started working on him and the others around him and so on. Just like that, he left his body. He died. The person, Kevin, came out of his body and he was above the chair and he was looking down. And they're working on him. This is what he said. He even tried to go to the dentist and tell him, don't operate on me anymore. I'm dead. I've left my body. I'm not there anymore. But he couldn't get the attention. And while he is looking at that, He said this. He said, suddenly a voice behind him said this, Kevin, and he turned around. And he said, there was Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and he was face to face with him. He said, the most magnificent person that you've ever seen in your entire life. And Jesus began to speak to him. Kevin, I love you. Got great things for you. And so on. Told him a number of things. But the thing that I want to bring out here this morning concerning this particular message on how to live supernaturally, concerning tongues. He said, Jesus told him three things. I'm going to give you one of them. Jesus said, when you go back, tell the people the most important thing that they can do to cooperate with the supernatural is to pray in tongues. And he took him from there to the desert. It says the white sands of New Mexico. And the Lord said to him, Jesus said to him, Kevin, I want you to start praying in tongues. And he started praying in the spirit. And he said, all of a sudden, there was a nuclear explosion in the desert. And he looked at this and he said, that's incredible. And Jesus said to him, that's what happens when people pray in tongues. You talk about demolishing strongholds. You're talking about moving things that are immovable. There's a gift of the spirit, the gift of the spirit, this kingdom language, praying in tongues, the power of it. Well, the Lord said to him, you see that big mushroom cloud from this atomic explosion? He said, Kevin, the work has already taken place long before that even comes. He says, when you pray in tongues, he said, there's shock waves that go out and demolish things. Amen? You want power? I tell you, may God just fill you with the gift of tongues. 1 Corinthians 14:2 says this, when you pray in a tongue, this particular tongue, no one understands you. You are uttering mysteries with your spirit to God. Isn't that wonderful? Do you want to become mysterious? You want to lock arms with God concerning this? Instead of, oh, Jesus, help me. He said, pray in tongues. He said, pray in the spirit. Use the spirit language and you'll see what will happen. God is awesome. No one understands him. He speaks mysteries with his spirit. Hallelujah. Amen? That's what the Bible says. I'll end with this. Tithe is mentioned 90 times in the Bible. Tithe and tithing. Offerings are mentioned 900 times. I remember saying this to my son, who wasn't really a tither. I said this to him. He came around. He's one of our biggest donors today. He's really come around. He fought it back there. He doesn't fight it today. And he said to me, Dad, that's wonderful. God has given us 900 times, 900 reminders of the harvest. Amen? 900 times. Offerings are mentioned 900 times in the scripture. Hallelujah. One thing yet, I'll really close now. Hebrews chapter 7. I'm done. Hebrews chapter 7. In the first 8 verses of Hebrews, some people say, you know, tithing is an Old Testament concept and all that. I've heard it. You come to the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 7, 7 times it says there, the tenth, the tenth, the tenth, the tenth. Amen? We're reminded in the New Covenant the tithe keeps that wretched curse off of you. But then you've got the other side of it, the wonderful thing of tithing and offering and tongues. Amen. The Lord told me it's TNT. Amen. We're talking dynamite here this morning. Amen. It doesn't need to look that good, but I tell you what, you ignite it, there's an explosion. TNT, we're talking dynamite today. How to live supernaturally? Tithe and offerings, for sure, and tongues. May the Lord bless you today. Amen. I trust you take that. And I'm praying, God, that this house would become a Malachi 3 house. That the whole tithe would come in. And that we would test God. Isn't that fantastic that he gives little old me the right to test him on this and see if he'll not throw open the floodgates of heaven, NIV, and pour you out a blessing until there's not room enough to receive it. Amen. We need it where we're going to. And I give it to you in Jesus' name. Father, we come before you this morning in the power of the name of Jesus. 16th of February 2020. And I just lift up the congregation before you today. Lift. Lift them up, Lord, right between the cherubim. You said, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. We make the Lord our trust today. We take the entire congregation, Lord, and we place them between the cherubim. We place them where the blood was shed, where the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. We place this congregation right there under the shadow of your wing this morning. And I ask, God, that you would bless Lift in a way that is just beyond what we can ask or even imagine. Financially, spiritually, that you would suddenly elevate us, God, into a level that we have never dreamed of. I bless Lift today, Father, in the name of Jesus. And I ask you, Lord, that you would just release your blessing to every family that is here today. Those that are here and not here today, we bless them. And we take this message like a flying scroll and we just loose it upon this congregation. Hallelujah. How to live supernaturally. And I ask, God, that you would add your blessing to it in our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Mm-hmm.